Republicans have sold incredible oversight and no oversight with hardly noticing the difference. Let me explain what I'm saying. Prior to 2001, when Clinton was the president of the United States, the House Government Reform Committee issued more than 1,000 subpoenas. Just that one committee. Others issued many more subpoenas. They got 2 million documents, 2 million pages of documents handed over by them. On one issue alone, as the New Republic reports, whether or not the White House Christmas list was politicized, you know, whether or not people at the White House were actually inviting people to their Christmas party based in part on whether they were Democrats or Republicans, the Congress, the Republican Congress, spent 140 hours of getting sworn testimony, taking government workers from their jobs to determine whether or not Clinton happened to invite to the Christmas party more Democrats than Republicans. That was a crucial issue. The question of whether or not we are systematically torturing people and basically becoming as bad as Saddam Hussein in Iraq, using his same prisons to torture people, violating Geneva Accords, committing war crimes. Abu Ghraib entirely got, maybe 10, 12 hours of testimony. And most things get no testimony at all. So the Republican Congress's position is this, and it should be clear, maybe the American people voted for it. Maybe the American people think that a Democratic president should be so scrutinized that everything from the details of his sex life to who he invites to the Christmas party needs to devote thousands of hours and millions of taxpayer money to investigate. We need to know every detail. We need to know every day he has sex, whom he's having sex with, how he's doing it, how he looks, whether he's doing it, who he's inviting to the Christmas party, and who are all his friends. And that's what the Republicans argued checks and balances required in the Clinton era. In the Bush era, they argue that the president can do what he wants, that the Constitution has no value, that laws are mere, suggestions, and that if the president is systematically violating the laws through things like executive orders that spy on all of us, it's not actually worth investigating. It's not actually worth subpoenaing. The main reason I think why the American people will vote for Democrats, hopefully this fall, has got nothing to do with the incompetency of the Bush administration. That may keep some conservatives home. Or the fact that this is the greatest spending, biggest debt administration in American history, though that will keep conservatives home. I think the main reason to vote Republican this fall is if you support corruption and you support big business. And the main reason to vote Democratic is if you want some oversight. If you believe the American people should know what the government is doing. And so you might want to know how much the administration is spying on you. Do they know where you are at all times? Well, they seem to. After all, they have your phone records, and your cell phone tells them where you are, who you're talking to, what books you're taking from the library, what you're spending on, what your credit limit is. Do we want a government of Big Brother? If you do, and you don't want to know the details, and you think the president always knows what's right and never acts corruptly and has a right to know everywhere you are and what you're doing at every moment, you'll get a vote Republican. If you believe, in the rule of law or checks and balances or the Constitution, you're probably going to vote Democratic this fall. So as we go over the next 2 hours, I want to explore this question of the spin machine, how it is that the issues are spun. When we look at the immigration issue, for example, and this is the big issue of the week, the Bush administration is all over the map on this one. First, Bush was against a fence. Now he's for a fence. First, he was against sending extra people to the border. Now he's going to send 6,000, really a pittance, of the National Guard over to the border. When you think about the fact that almost 10 times that number are being sent to Iraq, how is it that the Iraqi border is more important than our own? And yet, by emphasizing the border, the one thing that I think Americans can agree on in this contentious issue that, we need to watch our border, keep it secure, whatever we think about whether or not to allow illegal immigrants to eventually obtain citizenship or not, and we're widely disagreement on that, I think most of us agree, we need to check our borders. We don't want people slipping across. We want to know who's coming across. Some think a fence is worth the money. Some don't. I actually think that you can build, not too much expense, a decent fence. I have no problem with the idea that, good fences make good neighbors. But the real question, the heart of the question, the one that's splitting the country, is dividing the Republican Party in half. And that, of course, is what do we do about the illegal immigrants that are already here? The House Republicans seem to think that you could spend the tens of billions of dollars necessary to kick out 10 to 12 million illegal immigrants and that they won't come streaming back in. The business class of the Republican Party wants the labor. They want this permanent, if you will, slave caste. They don't want them to become citizens, clearly, because they want them to keep undermining American labor. You see, if we have this caste come in as a guest worker program, as, by the way, they've tried in Europe. I mean, how do you think all those Muslims got to Europe in the first place? Some were there a long time, but many of them came in under guest worker programs in Germany, in France, and so forth. And they came in, they were not allowed to become citizens. They were not integrated into the society. They were treated as second-class citizens. They became, for many of them, a permanent intergenerational slave caste. Well, that's what business is like in America. They want the same thing because it undercuts American labor. It prevents Americans from going to unions. It undercuts jobs. And don't tell me that line that I think most Americans would agree with until they think about it. Don't tell me they take the jobs that Americans don't want. No, they take the jobs at wages that Americans don't want. Are you telling me no Americans would be willing to be a garbage man? Are you telling me you won't be willing to be a garbage man? I guarantee if we pay $10 an hour, maybe $15, we'll have garbage men. At some rate, you too, listening to my voice, would probably be a garbage man. You too would probably do a job that you find personally disgusting if the wage was enough. And if you wouldn't, someone else would. All this is about is labor. Business wants labor prices low, they want guest workers in, and they want them to be this permanent slave caste because if they become citizens, then they can do things like complain when their arms are cut off in factories, complain of unsanitary conditions, complain about below minimum wage. Business doesn't want that. They don't want workers to have the right to complain. They want to return this country, the entire Republican Party, by George Bush. The essence of what they want is they want this country to be like it was at the turn of the last century, 1900, a time when you had vast waves of immigrants come in and they could be completely mistreated by business before you had occupational health and safety. You could pay them anything you want. If you've ever read Upton Sinclair's The Jungle, that's what they want. They want immigrants to basically be powerless and labor to be cheap, and that way the CEOs can make millions and millions of dollars. And yet, despite the fact that I am sympathetic to the concerns of American labor, I'm also sympathetic to people who basically are just struggling to get in, struggling to get by, doing, in fact, what most of our ancestors did. Those of us that are not descendants of slaves or descendants of Native Americans, most of our ancestors came to this country looking for a better life, and that's what they are doing for Mexico. So what is the way out of this morass? How do we treat with compassion the people that are here, respect the multicultural society, and at the same time protect American labor? In my view, and it's been my view, and I've expressed it before, neither the Senate nor the House bill addresses this question. My view is punish the businesses. The businesses are the cause of the problem. They are the lure. They are the ones that are offering below wage, below sanitary jobs to the illegal immigrants. If you tell them that they will be punished severely, financially, maybe even criminally, by hiring illegal immigrants, the jobs will dry up and they'll stop coming across the border. It's really that simple. I do think that for the immigrants that are here, well, you know, my mom always told me, you write the glass of milk before you clean up the spillage. Once we write the glass of milk, once we have fiscal sanity, border sanity, once we are punishing companies who hire illegal immigrants, then the people who are already here, if they haven't broken any other law, I let them pay a fine. and I'd let them have a path on the road to citizenship. It's simply too expensive to send them all back. But we can't even hope to achieve any of this until we, well, have a sane immigrant system. So I want to talk about the House bill, the Senate bill. They added to the Senate bill this week this English-only amendment. We can talk about that as well. Toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275, and we'll take your calls right after this.
Your dog eats your new sofa. Pet satisfaction rating 3%. Your hairdresser doesn't know burnt auburn from burnt toast. Hair color satisfaction rating 5%. After years of marriage, your husband still leaves the seat up. Spouse satisfaction rating minus 2%. Your car insurance company saves you hundreds of dollars and handles your claim quickly and fairly. Car insurance satisfaction rating 97%. Oh, you must have Geico.
Geico's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? Geico. 1-800-947-AUTO.
It's night. You have heartburn. You want fast relief. Zantac works fast. When first used, Prilosec OTC works not so fast. Zantac works right when you need it.
Hello. Relief.
Prilosec's label says it may take 1 to 4 days to fully work. So, what would you choose?
Estimated time of relief, 1 to 4 days.
Prilosec? Nah. Zantac's for people who hate to wait, especially at night. Use as directed.
If you're looking for a great deal, look no further than the CX 4600 All-in-One from Epson. No one else gives you so many great features at such a brilliant price, like individual cartridges of DuraBright ink for water, smudge, and fade-resistant photos, and built-in card slots to print directly from memory cards. You can also restore your old photos to their original beauty, all for around $99 after a $30 mail-in rebate. Buy now and also get a $20 reward card back by mail. For more brilliant deals, visit Epson.com/promotions.
If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish...
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
As time flows on, there are places we return to again and again. Precious places. Timeless places. Places that, with your help, can endure forever. I'm Paul Newman. Help the Nature Conservancy save the last great places around the world.
Here's a message about Anderson Windows from J.T. Hurst & Company, a division of T.W. Perry. If you're thinking about remodeling your home, keep in mind that windows play a big part, so it's important to get the right ones. Anderson not only offers finely crafted windows and patio doors in thousands of sizes and styles, they also give you natural wood interiors, low-maintenance exteriors, and long-lasting energy-saving performance. Stop in and see the full line of Anderson Windows at J.T. Hurst & Company, a division of T.W. Perry. The pros at J.T. Hurst can locate a contractor to do the job for you or give you some helpful tips on how you can do it yourself. J.T. Hurst, where customer service comes first, a division of T.W. Perry. On Catoctin Circle in Leesburg, Anderson Windows. Long live the home.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. So many things to discuss as we count down, really, to the November 2006 elections, which I think may make a sea change in American policy if the Democrats don't get too, well, complacent. It's not clear that we're going to win. And you got to remember that, well, because of the way that the boundaries are gerrymandered, and this is an important distinction here, because of the fact that the House of Representatives of the United States is determined by how each of the congressional districts within the states are divided, we need far more than 50%, we Democrats, to take over Congress. We need a little over 60%. That may seem counterintuitive to you. It may seem undemocratic. I mean, it is undemocratic. Clearly, it's undemocratic, but that's the system we have now. State legislatures decide how to draw those boundaries, and the boundaries are being drawn by Republican state legislatures to favor Republicans. So if you don't like the fact that it requires 60% vote to win a majority in Congress, maybe you need to take a look at your state legislature. Maybe you need to make sure you don't vote Republican and that you support those Democrats in the state legislature. But what will happen when the Democrats take over? And who will define how we do? The Republicans do a very good job of defining Democrats. Such a good job, in fact, that the Democrats sometimes accept what they say as truth. I think a lot of the complaints about Hillary Clinton, I think a lot of the complaints about Howard Dean are directed not so much by Democrats who don't like the policies of Hillary Clinton or Howard Dean. Sure, there's some people really on the left of them who think that they're too moderate, too conservative. What you find instead, I think, is that people listen to the media spin and listen to it far too much and forget who controls our media, that the corporations themselves control the media, and that not only do we not have a liberal media, we have an extremely biased to Republican media. And I'll just give you a few examples. Howard Dean may be the classic one. Howard Dean, of course, is a moderate Democratic governor of Vermont. I mean, he even was against most forms of gun control while he was in the state. But whatever you think of Howard Dean's views, and I actually kind of like most of them, the fact that he screamed into a mic that even in the midst of a crowd, you couldn't even hear the scream, by the way, I know from people who are in the crowd, but that the fact that he said so in this unidirectional mic that exaggerated his exuberance, well, that means that many Democrats think he's not electable. And they don't think he's not electable because of his policies. And they don't think he's not electable because the scream bothered them. No, they think that because Republicans have made him into a joke, or tried to, he can't be elected. And that's why you see the Republicans always try to make the Democrats into a joke. John Kerry, show him on a windsurfing board, something that I think many of us would say, wow, you know, that's hard to do. That shows a lot of athletic prowess. And make fun of him that way. Make fun of Al Gore. How many times do they make fun of Al Gore? And we do the same. Don't get me wrong. We Democrats certainly make fun of the idiot that is our president and how stupid he is. But the difference is, I don't know if the Republicans take it to heart. I don't know if they actually say, well, you know, I can't elect George Bush because he's an idiot. They don't believe the insults. And I increasingly fear that we Democrats are believing these insults that have no basis in truth, but distract us, hide us, let us fall under the spin. So in trying to figure out who defines us, I want to try to define the immigration debate, because the Republicans are trying to define it as an issue of border security. And they're doing so because they know that 99% of Americans want border security. And 99% of Congress is willing to beef up border security. In fact, when I worked in Congress for the Judiciary Committee, for the Democrats there, we tried to beef up border security. It hasn't helped that much, but it's helped some. I mean, the fact that we beefed up security in the San Diego border area between California and Mexico actually is what pushed the illegals from coming from the urban boundaries to the more difficult desert crossing. That's why they're there, folks. Because we actually did reinforce the border. But see, the Republicans are trying to make it seem like border security is an issue. It isn't an issue when everyone supports it. It's the same way they tied the Iraq war to fighting Al-Qaeda. Everyone in America, or at least 99% of us, support fighting Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda attacked us. They murdered 3,000 Americans. It's easy to see why we should fight al-Qaeda. That's easy. So they said, if you want to fight al-Qaeda, go hit Saddam Hussein, because there's a connection there that they could never explain, and of course now we know is a lie. They try to tie something unpopular to something that's popular. Now they're claiming that whatever they want to do with immigrants, and of course they're split amongst themselves, they should tie it to the border security that we all support. We shouldn't let them get away with it. Everyone supports border security. The issue is, what do we do with the illegal immigrants that are already here? And I'm going to address that when we get back. If you want to call in, it's 888-488-MARK. Lines are open, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after this.
Excuse me, Ms. Executive, who studied 4 years of math, including trigonometry, and now sits in a huge office and drives a finely tuned luxury car?
Yes, Mr. Only learned basic math in school, so still have a low-paying job and have to live with your mother.
Sorry to bother you, but the vice president who took AP calculus and gets paid more than the rest of us combined wants to know if you'll be leaving early like you usually do to play golf.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll let him know. If you need me this weekend, I'll be working late filling out your expense reports and timesheets because it's the only kind of math I can handle.
Great. Simple addition and subtraction sound right up your alley.
Thanks. Have a good weekend in the country, ma'am.
I always do.
Want to get ahead in life? Learn math. Algebra, trigonometry, calculus. Because math is power. To learn more, log on to mathispower.org. A public service message brought to you by the National Action Council for Minorities in Engineering and the Ad Council.
If you've been thinking about consolidating your federal student loans, it's time to call College Loan Corporation at 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will explain the benefits of the consolidation program, including locking in the lowest rate in history, reducing your current monthly payment by up to 58%, and cutting down multiple payments into one simple check. For more information, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
This is a financial update. Average mortgage rates took a slight dip this week.
Sorry to interrupt, but LendingTree.com is the only place where banks compete over your mortgage. Then you get up to 4 real offers to choose from within minutes. So do better and choose from low rates. Call LendingTree now at 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply. See website for details and licensing.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is the Sunday Weekly Review. All topics are valid. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. What's interesting in the immigration debate, it seems to me, is the split among really both parties. We're going to talk a little bit more about this tomorrow with my debate Monday, and I hope you'll join us for that at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. It seems to me that the Republicans hate this issue, and it's really hurting them because their party's so split. The Democrats are split too, but they're the party out of power, so it's not going to hurt them so much. The reason why the Republicans have done nothing about immigration for the past 6 years is precisely because their party is split right down the middle. On the one hand, you have those that I would call the nativists. The nativists love American culture as is. They tend to support Anglo-American culture. They want English to be a national language. They don't want immigrants to come in, Spanish-speaking immigrants, and change the nature of America. They're the ones that are complaining, as I read in a recent, I think it was USA Today article, may have been the Washington Post, that some one-third of all kids under 5 are Latino. They're the people who fear for white America. And they don't want to be seen as racist, but in essence, it's kind of hard how else to describe them. They're people who say, oh no, these people are coming in, changing our culture. They remind me of the people, frankly, that complained, well, I wasn't around then, but complained about the Germans in the 1840s, the Irish in the 1880s, the Jews and Italians in the 1900s, the Chinese, etc. They're the ones who want to keep America culturally a certain way. And they are divided by the big business Republicans, who have no problem with the fact that America is increasingly black and brown, but need the labor, want to keep labor prices down. CEO salaries up, labor prices down. And know that the only way to undercut unions, the only way to be able to mistreat workers, which after all brings a better profit, and the more profits you get, the more CEO, you know, corporate jets they can fly on, is to have massive unskilled labor. And massive unskilled labor you only get by the illegal immigrants. So the Republicans are divided. And Bush, as usual, has sided more with the big business Republicans. I think in essence that's who he is. He cares far more about that wing of his party. But the House Republicans are controlled by the nativists. Right? So this is why you have the great debate between the Senate and the House. The Senate Republicans have the big business support. They're the ones who work so hard to get so much pork to big business. They're the ones who do the bridge to nowhere. They're the ones that really are in, you know, the culture of legal bribery. The House is in it too. But the House has a lot of the right-wing activists that are in charge. They're the ones who care more about preventing America from being a multicultural society. So it's very interesting when you see this bill come through and you see this English-only amendment that was recently approved by the Senate. What is the purpose of that amendment? Well, if the question is English the most widely accepted language in the United States? Of course it is. Is it the language that we have used throughout our history? Of course it is. Is it, you know, the language in which the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, in which our founding fathers use? Is it the language that 99% plus of American schools use? Business conducted? Of course it is. You don't need to declare something that's already true unless it will change laws. Well, the first English-only amendment passed by the Senate with a solid majority of Republicans and quite a few Democrats suggested that it could change some of the laws, that it could change some of the bilingual education, that it could make English official and have some meaning. And then the Democrats responded quite hilariously with another English recognizing amendment that said that yes, English is the generally accepted language of the American people, but nothing in this bill shall increase or deny any other rights on the basis of language and so forth. In other words, the Democratic amendment said this English thing is only symbolic. That's all it is. And it got a great majority of Democrats and a hefty minority of Republicans as well. Some 20 members of the Senate voted for both bills. They're pro-English, right? One bill is pro-English and would change laws. One is pro-English and wouldn't change laws. You could argue they're contradicting themselves. But not if you understand what it's all about. Congress, for the last many years, has not been about real change unless that real change makes their fat cats fatter. Unless it's about giving pork to big business, Congress doesn't want real change. They don't care about English. They want to be able to appeal to people with symbolic politics. They can say to the hard right, the nativists, the people in the House, hey, I voted for English only, and therefore I can accept the other part of this bill, the bill that would eventually allow immigrants to become U.S. citizens. And that's a far more controversial thing. But what the Republicans are doing is they're larding up the bill with all these symbolic things in order to, well, let's be clear, to eventually come out with a compromise that might not be such a bad idea. And that's the Kennedy-McCain bill. That's the bill to allow, after a period of time, illegal immigrants who haven't committed other crimes, who've paid their taxes, who've done nothing wrong except come into this country illegally, to pay a fine and eventually become citizens. Now, interestingly, the president is all over the map on this. Eventually, or I should say originally, he said that, hey, no amnesty, right? Don't let these people become citizens, ever. Keep them as permanent guest workers. But, now it's not clear what he's doing. He seems to be coming around. He's trying to talk out of both sides of his mouth. But what the Republicans are losing is voters in droves. They're losing Latino support, and they're losing the hard right Republican support, because both are seeing that all they're doing is symbolic politics. It's time for people to take a stand. It's time for Democrats to take a stand, for Democrats to say exactly how they would punish illegal immigrants, exactly how they would punish businesses that hire illegal immigrants, and whether or not illegal immigrants should eventually be able to become citizens, something that I think most Democrats in the end support. But there are a lot of other issues of the day. I want to talk about ethics, what's going on in Russia, Palestinian territories, and the recent battle between Russ Feingold and Aaron Spector over the issue of a constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriage. All of that and more, and if you want to call in, 888-488-MARK, right after this.
I tried over-the-counter pills, they weren't right for me. So I tried some prescriptions and they made me foggy. And that's when I found you, Celebrex, for joint pain relief, no more, no less. Yeehaw!
Celebrex targets the source of pain and inflammation. It's non-narcotic. It doesn't make you foggy or slow you down. Ask your doctor about Celebrex celecoxib capsules. Celebrex should not be taken if you've had aspirin-sensitive asthma or allergic reaction due to aspirin or other arthritis medicines or certain drugs called sulfonamides. In rare cases, serious stomach problems such as bleeding can occur without warning. Tell your doctor if you have kidney or liver problems. To learn more, call 1-888-CELEBREX, visit Celebrex.com, or see our ad in Real Simple. Just one prescription Celebrex gives 24-hour relief.
Ask your doctor about Celebrex. Joint pain relief, no more, no less.
Here's a message about Anderson Windows from J.T. Hurst & Company, a division of T.W. Perry. If you're thinking about remodeling your home, keep in mind that windows play a big part, so it's important to get the right ones. Anderson not only offers finely crafted windows and patio doors in thousands of sizes and styles, they also give you natural wood interiors, low-maintenance exteriors, and long-lasting, energy-saving performance. Stop in and see the full line of Anderson Windows at J.T. Hurst & Company, a division of T.W. Perry. The pros at J.T. Hurst can locate a contractor to do the job for you or give you some helpful tips on how you can do it yourself. J.T. Hurst, where customer service comes first, a division of T.W. Perry. On Catoctin Circle in Leesburg, Anderson Windows. Long live the home.
How many different organizations list you as a member? You might be a member of a sports team, a book club, travel or CD club. But what does that membership really mean? Does membership in a book club allow you to vote on who runs the organization? Can you help shape the long-term future of your CD club? I don't think so. You can, however, shape the future of your electric company. That is, if you're a Novec customer. Novec, Northern Virginia Electric Cooperative, is owned by the consumers we serve and governed by a board of directors elected from the membership. Pretty cool, huh? But wait, there's more. Novec's customers share in the company's profits. Last year, we distributed more than $9.1 million in capital credits to our membership. The power to vote and a share of the profits. Membership doesn't get much better than this. Novec, locally based and member-owned. For a list of customer services, answers to your questions, and even employment opportunities, visit our website at www.novec.com.
I have these nightmares. This taco, not just an ordinary taco, but this big evil taco is haunting me.
Guacamole.
You see, I was exposed to credit cards in college, and I wasn't the most responsible person back then.
Go, go, go!
I mean, I heard the words credit card and thought, hey, hey, free money! Plane ticket to spring break? Credit card. New skis? Credit card. 135 taco dinners? Bam! Credit card. But hey, it's not too late to do something about your credit. Get ScorePower from Equifax.com. ScorePower gives you your credit report, credit score, and it puts you on the road toward the credit you deserve for just $14.95. So, Check out Equifax.com today and get that taco you ate 7 years ago out of your life.
Get score power at Equifax.com or 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Adios, taco.
Get the power.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Time to go abroad, I guess, and talk about what's going on there. Did you read about the problems in Iraqi hospitals? It seems that the Iraqi police, who is somewhat controlled by the Iraqi government, but not really controlled, there's all kinds of different militias around there. Well, they're insisting that hospitals treat their guys first. So let's say you've got someone and they're dying and they're doing some kind of major operation on them, and an Iraqi soldier gets a bruise, falls down, hurts his knee, heck, maybe even needs stitches. They will come into hospitals in underarmed, you know, guards, come in with these AK-47s, point them at the doctors and say, hey, stop that life-saving operation. My guy needs stitches. And the doctor does what he has to do. What's interesting about the Republican plan to remake Iraq after they gave up their original lies on weapons of mass destruction and a connection to Al-Qaeda is what they have, in essence, set out to do. They are saying, in effect, that they're not going to have success unless Iraq becomes a democratic, peaceful Middle East, right? I mean, that was what they were talking about. You know, Iraq's going to become this wonderful nation where all people will come, will remake the Middle East, and wouldn't it be worth it? Wouldn't it be worth it to have an Iraqi war and have thousands of Americans die and tens of thousands of Iraqis die if only we could remake the Middle East and have this wonderful democratic place? And now there are hospitals where armed men are coming in and demanding that their guys get treatment first. What we've seen in Iraq is anarchy. And I want to submit that those who supported the Iraqi war, you can't have it both ways. What you would say, undoubtedly, to my comments is, Mark, you're asking too much. You can't ask that this society be this wonderful, peaceful democracy, that it happened in 2, 3, 4, 5 years, that it happened with only 100,000 lost lives or only 2,500 American dead. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. It's going to take cost. It's going to take blood. You can't ask for a perfect Iraq. To which point I would say, then why is it worth it? You were the ones, administration, you were the ones who promised us a perfect Iraq. Sure, we didn't believe you at the time. We don't believe you now. But did anyone really think that after overthrowing Saddam Hussein, we would have armed militias roaming around Iraq, kicking around doctors? You know, it's kind of like that in the Palestinian territories as well. There is an incipient civil war. And if you don't know of this, well, you heard it here first, between the Hamas Palestinians and Arafat's old Palestinians, the former Palestinian Authority, the terrorist group called Fatah, the major part of the Palestinian Liberation Organization. They're both terrorists, but Hamas doesn't want any dealings with Israel. It just wants to kill as many Jews as possible, throw Israel into the sea. And Fatah believes that if you make temporary negotiations with Israel, it gives them a better chance to win and take over the whole territory. The point is this. The United States and Israel, quite rightly, won't deal with Hamas. They refuse to deal with an organization that is bound for their destruction. In the same way, I would argue the United States should never negotiate with Al-Qaeda. Not at all. Instead, Israel, I think, is doing a very smart thing. They're building a large wall, and they're saying, in effect, fight amongst yourselves. It's not our issue. And is that a good thing, Palestinian Civil War? No, it's not a good thing. But there's only so much you can do in life. It's the same thing with us leaving Iraq. Yes, if we leave Iraq, there'll be a civil war. Yes, people will get killed. And people are saying, you know what? Don't concentrate on the fact that President lied to get us into war. Don't focus on that. Don't focus on weapons of mass destruction, the fact that they weren't there. Don't focus on the Bush's lies about ties to Al-Qaeda. None of that matters right now. Right now we've got a situation where in Iraq, let's not discuss how we got there. Let's focus on where we go from here. How many times have you heard Republicans say that? How many times have you heard people like John McCain say exactly that? And if we leave Iraq now, it's going to degenerate into civil war. My friends, they're already going there. It will degenerate into civil war whether we're there or not. The only difference is whether we get shot at in the middle of this civil war. Will our troops be in the middle of it? That's the question. It's the same thing why Israel, knowing that the Palestinians will never want peace, that the great majority of Palestinians want perpetual war. They want, in essence, their misery because they don't know enough to know that peace would be a way out of their misery. They don't want 90% or 95% or 96% or 98% that was offered to them in Camp David in 2000 because their leaders tell them that's not good enough. Well, if people want perpetual war, you gotta let them have it. As long as they're not committing genocide, as long as they're not systematically taking people up against the wall and shooting them, in which case I think we should do something about it, sometimes you just gotta leave them alone. When Iran and Iraq were fighting in 1980, I didn't think Ronald Reagan should have helped Iraq or Iran. It turns out they helped both. They're fighting. We don't agree. We can't help them. There are limits to U.S. power. And just as I think Israel's right to build a war, to build a wall and to leave the Palestinians to their civil war, I think the same should be true in Iraq. We've done our best. It's now time to leave. Toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after this.
Your dog eats your new sofa. Pet satisfaction rating 3%.
Your hairdresser doesn't know burnt auburn from burnt toast. Hair color satisfaction rating 5%. After years of marriage, your husband still leaves the seat up. Spouse satisfaction rating minus 2%. Your car insurance company saves you hundreds of dollars and handles your claim quickly and fairly. Car insurance satisfaction rating 97%. Oh, you must have Geico.
Geico's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? Geico, 1-800-947-AUTO.
It's night. You have heartburn. You want fast relief. Zantac works fast. When first used, Prilosec OTC works not so fast. Zantac works right when you need it.
Hello, relief.
Prilosec's label says it may take 1 to 4 days to fully work. So, what would you choose?
Estimated time of relief, 1 to 4 days.
Prilosec? Nah. Zantac's for people who hate to wait, especially at night. Use as directed.
If you're looking for a great deal, look no further than the CX 4600 All-in-One from Epson. No one else gives you so many great features at such a brilliant price, like individual cartridges of DuraBrite ink for water, smudge, and fade-resistant photos, and built-in card slots to print directly from memory cards. You can also restore your old photos to their original beauty, all for around $99 after a $30 mail-in rebate. Buy now and also get a $20 reward card back by mail. For more brilliant deals, visit Epson.com/promotions.
If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish...
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
As time flows on, there are places we return to again and again. Precious places. Timeless places. Places that, with your help, can endure forever. I'm Paul Newman. Help the Nature Conservancy save the last great places around the world.
From Washington, more of The Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to The Inside Scoop. Have you been following what's going on in Russia? A few Americans have. But, of course, the Soviet Union was the great enemy. Have we forgotten so soon? Have we forgotten the entire Cold War? Have we forgotten the hundreds of billions, in effect trillions of dollars, that we spent fighting the Cold War, all the American money and effort and defense and lives lost in some of the Cold War wars, like Korea and Vietnam? Do we care whether or not Russia goes back into dictatorship? Well, you know what? We really should care. It's something that we should follow, and yet we're hearing very little about the actions of the head of Russia, of course, Vladimir Putin, a guy that, George Bush looks into his eyes and, you know, he really trusts. What's he done? He's taken billions of dollars from the billionaires in Russia, taken their private properties, passed it on to his own friends in the KGB. He set up propaganda for the national TV stations, basically bringing back things like TASS and the other propaganda networks. He's even cutting off gas prices to basically try to starve the oil magnates there. What's interesting to me, oh, and also one more thing, he's eliminating elections in the local governments, and that's really important. He's basically saying, you know what, the only election that matters is me. Vladimir Putin is becoming a dictator. He's becoming a dictator that eventually we may fear. And what's interesting to me is that for all the talk of this Bush administration about promoting democracy, for all their talk about, well, the reason we're in Iraq, it's got nothing to do with oil, it's all about democracy. They don't seem to care very much that what used to be our largest enemy, our most dangerous enemy, is sliding to dictatorship. The best thing that happened in the 1990s was the implosion of the Soviet Union, the fact that it fell apart, the fact that from the inside, it rotted out, and we didn't have to worry about the Soviet threat anymore. But we don't seem to care about Vladimir Putin, and I think the reason why it's getting so little attention in the United States is that Putin's crimes, Putin's acting without democracy, doesn't seem that extreme to us anymore, because our president is doing many of the same things. Take the national-controlled press. Well, we have the Fox propaganda channel. We have the fact that the Republicans set up under Roger Ailes a channel designed to tell us what the administration believes. And it's not just that, of course, but they've been secretly funneling money to Republican propagandists claiming to be neutral reporters. And how is that news greeted in Washington? A big yawn. Nobody cares. No one investigates. No one seems to mind whether or not our government becomes just like the Soviet Union. What about stealing all this property and giving it to his own stooges? What's the Bush administration doing? They're taking our taxpayer dollars and giving it to the oil companies, helping out the same people that are funneling money to the Bush administration. It doesn't seem that unusual. Stopping local elections? Well, what's all the gerrymandering about? It's all about not allowing the people to have their choice. What about the crooked voting machines? All about not allowing the people to have their choice. How can we complain about the Soviet Union torturing people, not giving people due process, not allowing people to have their day in court when we are doing the exact same thing? And so I think one reason why we're not concerned about what's going on in Russia, and we should be, it's because we're not sufficiently concerned about what's going on in the United States. Maybe the American people are waking up. Maybe that's why Bush approval ratings are so low. But when we come back, I want to talk about how it is that a Democratic Congress would be different and would actually take on some of the abuses of the Bush administration. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after this.
Joint pain they call us the O.R. arthritis. I tried over-the-counter pills, they weren't right for me. So I tried some prescriptions and they made me foggy. And that's when I found you, Celebrex, for joint pain relief, no more, no less.
Celebrex targets the source of pain and inflammation. It's non-narcotic. It doesn't make you foggy or slow you down. Ask your doctor about Celebrex celecoxib capsules. Celebrex should not be taken if you've had aspirin-sensitive asthma or allergic reaction due to aspirin or other arthritis medicines or certain drugs called sulfonamides. In rare cases, serious stomach problems such as bleeding can occur without warning. Tell your doctor if you have kidney or liver problems. To learn more, call 1-888-CELEBREX, visit Celebrex.com, or see our ad in Real Simple. Just one prescription Celebrex gives 24-hour relief.
Ask your doctor about Celebrex. Joint pain relief, no more, no less.
I have these nightmares. This taco, not just an ordinary taco, but this big evil taco is haunting me.
Guacamole.
You see, I was exposed to credit cards in college, and I wasn't the most responsible person back then.
Go, go, go!
I mean, I heard the words credit card and thought, hey, free money! Plane ticket to spring break? Credit card. New skis? Credit card. 135 taco dinners? Bam! Credit card. But hey, it's not too late to do something about your credit. Get ScorePower from Equifax.com. ScorePower gives you your credit report, credit score, and it puts you on the road toward the credit you deserve for just $14.95. So, check out Equifax.com today and get that taco you ate 7 years ago out of your life.
Get ScorePower at Equifax.com or 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Adios, taco.
Get the power.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Just a few more minutes in this segment. If you wonder why we're not being concerned about Putin's Russia very much, it's maybe because we see the same going on in the United States. And I think the clearest example of that is the tale of two Khalids. Khalid is a common Arabic name. And one Khalid's name is Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. He is what many call the mastermind behind 9/11. He is the person who we tortured and got all kinds of information about what happened in the plot of 9/11. Now, it's not clear how much of that information was gotten under torture, how much would have been gotten by trickery, if not by using torture. And it's not clear necessarily how much all of it is true. But we are not taking him to trial. It does seem he is the mastermind. I don't know. I haven't seen the evidence. But he does seem to be the mastermind behind the 9/11. And I think he probably is. But the government can't try him. Can't try him. And they can't try him because, well, they tortured him. So even if you think that torture is an effective means, and I don't think it is, of getting information, it prevents us from trying him. It prevents us from using the due process guaranteed in the United States Constitution. And you might say, well, you know what? Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, he's a bad guy. That one there's pretty much some evidence on. I'm convinced he's a bad, bad guy. So we never need to try him. We can hold him indefinitely. The president says he has a right to do it. Sure, he can't specify any law that says that he can do it. Sure, there's constitutional things that say he can't do it. But, you know, what the heck? The law's not that important. The Constitution's not that important. American freedoms aren't that important. We've got to stop this terrorist. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed has got to be stopped. Okay, let's say you think that. Let's say you think, Constitution be damned. There's so many Republicans do these days. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. This is a bad terrorist. We've got to sacrifice our freedoms in order to protect us from terrorism. Well, then I have another Khalid for you to discuss. Khalid al-Masri. Khalid Masri is a German citizen of Lebanese descent. And he was arrested in Macedonia. You wouldn't think he has much to do with the United States. But we took him. And we tortured him. Because we thought that he had a connection to terrorists. Maybe we thought he was Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Maybe we thought he was another evil Khalid. But he was taken. He was beaten. He was raped. He was repeatedly asked questions. about who he knows, and he said he's innocent. And it turns out after 5 months, well, we released him. We couldn't find he'd done anything wrong. Now, what do you think about a government that in order to find out if someone's innocent or not, beaks them and rapes them and tries to get them to confess to something? Well, when it was under the old Soviet Union, we used to declare that to be pretty awful, pretty oppressive. What happened to Khalid al-Masri? He sued in Washington. He sued in an American district court in Alexandria, Virginia. And the court said, acknowledged, that he suffered serious injuries and said that if what he says is true, he deserves a remedy. The fact that the CIA held him and beat him and raped him. But because of state secrets by the U.S. government, the case can never be tried. Ask yourself, if you truly support giving up your Constitution in order to protect us from terrorists, what happens if it's not a terrorist? What happens if it's you? 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. The Inside Scoop continues on the other side of the hour break right after this.
Here's a message about Anderson Windows from J.T. Hurst & Company, a division of T.W. Perry. If you're thinking about remodeling your home, keep in mind that windows play a big part, so it's important to get the right ones. Anderson not only offers finely crafted windows and patio doors in thousands of sizes and styles, they also give you natural wood interiors, low-maintenance exteriors, and long-lasting, energy-saving performance. Stop in and see the full line of Anderson Windows at J.T. Hurst & Company, a division of T.W. Perry. The pros at J.T. Hurst can locate a contractor to do the job for you or give you some helpful tips on how you can do it yourself. J.T. Hurst, where customer service comes first, a division of T.W. Perry. On Catoctin Circle in Leesburg, Anderson Windows. Long live the home.
How many different organizations list you as a member? You might be a member of a sports team, a book club, travel or CD club. But what does that membership really mean? Does membership in a book club allow you to vote on who runs the organization? Can you help shape the long-term future of your CD club? I don't think so. You can, however, shape the future of your electric company. That is, if you're a NOVEC customer. NOVEC, Northern Virginia Electric Cooperative, is owned by the consumers we serve and governed by a board of directors elected from the membership. Pretty cool, huh? But wait, there's more. NOVEC's customers share in the company's profits. Last year, we distributed more than $9.1 million in capital credits to our membership. The power to vote and a share of the profits. Membership doesn't get much better than this. NOVEC, locally based and member-owned. For a list of customer services, answers to your questions, and even employment opportunities, visit our website at www.novac.com.
Your dog eats your new sofa. Pet satisfaction rating 3%. Your hairdresser doesn't know burnt auburn from burnt toast. Hair color satisfaction rating 5%. After years of marriage, your husband still leaves the seat up. Spouse satisfaction rating minus 2%. Your car insurance company saves you hundreds of dollars and handles your claim quickly and fairly. Car insurance satisfaction rating 97%. Oh, you must have Geico.
Geico's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? Geico, 1-800-947-AUTO.
It's night. You have heartburn. You want fast relief. Zantac works fast. When first used, Prilosec OTC works not so fast. Zantac works right when you need it.
Hello, relief.
Prilosec's label says it may take 1 to 4 days to fully work. So, what would you choose?
Estimated time of relief, 1 to 4 days.
Prilosec? Nah. Zantac's for people who hate to wait, especially at night. Use as directed.
If you're looking for a great deal, look no further than the CX 4600 All-in-One from Epson. No one else gives you so many great features at such a brilliant price, like individual cartridges of DuraBrite ink for water, smudge, and fade-resistant photos, and built-in card slots to print directly from memory cards. You can also restore your old photos to their original beauty, all for around $99 after a $30 mail-in rebate. Buy now and also get a $20 reward card back by mail. For more brilliant deals, visit Epson.com/promotions.
If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish...
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
As time flows on, there are places we return to again and again. Precious places. Timeless places. Places that, with your help, can endure forever. I'm Paul Newman. Help the Nature Conservancy save the last great places around the world.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the second half of the Inside Scoop. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. And it's a Sunday weekly review. All topics are valid, but it looks like the Democrats may be taking over Congress. And I want to explore how the differences will be if they do. Look, one of the questions about the takeover is the clear question of ethics. I mean, one of the reasons why the United States, American people trust Republicans so much less than they used to is the fact that there's so much corruption in Congress. It's the kind of thing that really over the past few years I've explored several times on the Inside Scoop and have only recently... The American people now know the names of people like Jack Abramoff and Duke Cunningham and Bob Ney and Scooter Libby and all the rest of them. And so it's interesting that the Republicans, of course, turn around and they focus on the Democrats that have ethical issues. I'll mention two in particular. One is William Jefferson of Louisiana, who's probably going to be indicted soon. And the other is Congressman Mollahan of West Virginia, who's... I don't know that he'll actually be indicted, but there's some things he's done that I found untoward. But here are the things that – the difference, I think, between Republican corruption and Democratic corruption. When Democrats are corrupt, their leadership runs way away from them. You don't find Nancy Pelosi defending William Jefferson of Louisiana. In fact, he's saying, look, if he – I hope he's prosecuted. I hope he's punished. I hope he's thrown out of Congress. Those are the kinds of things she's saying. But when it comes to – Tom DeLay, the Republicans not only defended him, they actually changed the ethics laws of the United States Congress in order to help him. I mean, they said, if he's indicted, so what? He can still be our leader. And they got rid of the House Ethics Committee, the Republicans on the committee that actually censored or reprimanded, is probably the better word, reprimanded Tom DeLay three times. So it saddened me to see that someone who is generally known by Democrats and moderates as an independently minded maverick guy, someone who could be honest and trusted to do the right thing, when he decided not to tackle the Abramoff scandal, I'm talking, of course, about Senator John McCain. John McCain is that person that everyone seems to fall all over themselves all over. Democrats, too. Probably because he has an independence from other Republicans, from the Bush administration. He doesn't always do what the Bush administration wants him to do. And that's to be commended, to be sure. But when it came to the Jack Abramoff investigation, John McCain said he would get to the truth of the matter. And then when he saw that the truth of the matter implicated not just dozens of Republican members of Congress, not just a number of senators, but also implicated the President of the United States, that In fact, Jack Abramoff visited the President of the United States, or visited the White House, I should say, every single day that the White that was open for business. If you add it all up, if you add up the times, you find that he visited in the first 6 months of the Bush administration some 100 days. And you look at the number of business days and you find, guess what? That's pretty much every day. Maybe he went twice one day and no times the next. When McCain found out that George Bush was implicated in Jack Abramoff, that Jack Abramoff had given him hundreds of thousands of dollars from sources that he didn't want to disclose, from sources that were corrupt themselves, and that the president was helping those clients, those corrupt clients, McCain backed off. Come on, John McCain. What happened to your integrity? What happened to your honesty? What happened to your decency? Why are you running? Well, the answer is he's running from an investigation of the Bush presidency because he's running for office. And I understand that politicians do this. But John McCain was supposed to be different from the others. And yes, he's also going to Liberty University. He's going to kiss the ring of Jerry Falwell, a man at one time he called evil. He apologized for that 8 years back. But he didn't seem to like the man. He seemed to be different from the religious conservatives that want to make a theocracy in America. So why is John McCain kissing the ring? We know why. Because he's running for office. He needs the support of the right-wing religious conservatives in order to win the election, at least in order to win the nomination. And you know what? I understand that. Virtually all politicians do it. It's a sorry thing. But at least those of you who thought McCain was pure and innocent and the head of the Straight Talk Express, maybe it opened your eyes a bit. I know there are many Democrats that say, you know, I hate John McCain's policies. I don't like that, he would criminalize women having an abortion. I don't like that he believes that we should stay in Iraq decades if necessary in order to create this image of perfection there, that he thinks that Iraq is the greatest of the United States priorities and we shouldn't send troops to other places. We shouldn't do anything about Iran and North Korea because we're focused on Iraq. They disagree with John McCain, but think, well, at least he's an honest guy. And I've said the same thing on this show. At least John McCain is an honest guy. And I'm not saying that he himself is personally corrupt, because I don't think that's true. But it does disappoint me that he acted like any old ordinary politician, selling out just like the rest of them, just like many would say Bill Clinton did. At least those of you that are considering voting for John McCain know the truth. Yes, he's charismatic. Yes, he's not as bad as Bush. But he's just another ordinary politician. And in fact, if you look at him and compare him with some of the Democrats, in terms of his views aren't as good. So don't vote for McCain just because you don't think he's personally corrupt. Recognize that he also backs off investigating, that he also kisses the ring of the religious conservatives. He's no different. Now, I was talking with a friend of mine just today about John McCain. He was saying, well, you know, at least he went to Liberty University and he didn't give a speech praising Jerry Falwell. That's not enough for me. I'm not asking that he insult the guy. But when George Bush went to South Carolina 8 years ago, to Bob Jones University, a known racist university, a known university that teaches hatred toward blacks, that teaches hatred toward Catholics, in fact, in one time. I think they've gotten changed that now. This anti-black, anti-Catholic university, he didn't have to be racist and anti-Catholic. I didn't expect George Bush to go to Bob Jones University and say, you know, I hate all blacks and I think Catholics are inferior. Whatever. I didn't expect that. Just by showing up there, a place that, I don't think any right-minded person should be seen, gave the message. Well, what about the argument that, you know what, well, maybe you have to go to places who disagree with you in order to teach, in order to give your views? I actually agree with that. I have argued in points of politics in places like Simi Valley, California. I have mentioned oftentimes when I'm in Boulder, Colorado, I'd like to be invited to Colorado Springs, California, a very conservative place, in order to give my views. But I wouldn't back down and not give my views. John McCain, had he gone to Liberty University and said, thank you very much for inviting me here. I appreciate that. We have some real differences that I want to talk with you about. One is I support the First Amendment. I believe in the separation of church and state, the wall of separation that Thomas Jefferson wrote about 200 years ago. I think it not only protects the government from religious influence, it also protects religions from governmental influence. And so I support that wall of separation. I know we differ on that, but let's begin a dialogue. If he'd done that, I would have had respect for the man. But instead, he didn't talk about it at all. He talked about Iraq. Well, that's his choice. But those of you that loved John McCain before, just remember, he's no demigod. He's just an ordinary politician. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Let's go to a caller. Caller, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
This is Jeff in Shreveport.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Long time no speak.
It has been a while.
Yeah. I just called up because I'm really kind of afraid of something right now.
Okay.
That's our posturing toward Venezuela.
Okay.
It bothers me that a country that decides it wants to set its own rules for its own resources is suddenly a state sponsor of terrorism.
Yeah.
I'm actually afraid that in my lifetime, thousands of people are going to be killed so that oil giants can get a couple of more percentage points. And Americans like drones are going to believe, oh, yeah, that Chavez, he was out to destroy us.
You know, what's interesting to me, Jeff, is if you want to understand Bush foreign policy and you try to look at it based on what they claim, weapons of mass destruction, connection to al-Qaeda, democracy, there is no way you could understand it. You'd just be scratching your head saying, you know, I what's going on here? I don't understand it. But if you look at it based on oil, suddenly it becomes very clear. What country helps American oil companies? Well, Venezuela doesn't. And Iraq under Saddam Hussein didn't. And now if we conquer Iraq, it does. Now you can understand U.S. policy. It's all about realpolitik. If they cared about people's lives, we'd be in Sudan. If they cared about weapons of mass destruction, we'd be doing something about Iran or North Korea. The only explanation for Bush's foreign policy is that three-letter word, O-I-L. I think you're absolutely right.
I think it goes deeper. You know, a lot of folks think that Bush is over there for cheap oil. I think he wants oil to be expensive. Because I live in Louisiana. There are oil pumps, you know, not a mile from my house. And those pumps do not move when the price of gas is low. They move only when it gets high, when it's worth drilling. And I have no idea how much oil, how many millions of barrels of oil that the Bush family might own. But I think I heard, maybe it was on your show, that when he was elected, the price of a barrel was $19, and now it's $70 plus. Well, doesn't that make him a lot richer?
Well, he definitely has, I mean, family in the oil business. We know that he actually failed personally in the oil business before he became president. We know that, of course, Dick Cheney has got a solid share of Halliburton. We have Condoleezza Rice. People forget that she was important in Chevron. She's also an oil woman, Don Rumsfeld as well. They definitely have been very good for oil companies. ExxonMobil has posted this last quarter the largest profit of any corporation in American history.
And yet they need tax breaks.
And yet, according to the Bush administration, they need tax breaks because they need to keep looking for that oil. Right. I would think the massive profits would be enough. But apparently, yes, that is his position. And plus, they
don't have enough money to build more refineries. Somehow, taxes and regulations are keeping them from being able to build more refineries. I don't get that argument.
Well, Jeff, actually, that's something. I did a whole show on this a couple weeks ago that if you haven't heard, I suggest you check on the Internet at RadioInsideScoop.com, The Secret of Skyrocketing Oil Prices. I had a guest there who proved, really, using very important statistics, that the cost of gasoline right now has got very little to do with the cost of crude prices internationally. It has to do with the fact that, exactly as you say, we don't have enough refineries. And with the Republicans, they say, oh, we don't have enough refineries because, environmentalists are preventing us from getting it. That's not true. We know that, for example, without building a new refinery anywhere in the country, the existing refineries have enough acreage next to their plants, they could very easily double or triple their size. But since the 1990s, the oil companies have punished independent refineries and actually combined in order to prevent refineries from going online and shut down refineries. Our refinery capacity is less now than it was 10 years ago. And by doing that, they don't have to do the price fixing. That's an illegal antitrust violation. Instead, what they do is they just keep the refineries low and through that bottleneck and make sure the gas prices are high. It was a very, it's a very eye-opening interview on my own part, and I urge you to check it out.
Oh, yeah. For a while, I couldn't hear you, and so I'm going back and actually listening now.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that, Jeff, and I very much appreciate your call. Thanks for calling in.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go now. We've got another caller. Welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Hey, Joe, I wanted to hear what your comments were about Karl Rove and the fact that he didn't get indicted last week, or it appears to be that he didn't. Do you think there's some legal wrangling going on?
Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace. I have predicted Karl Rove would be indicted, I have to admit, honestly, for a year now. And I'm sorry that my prediction hasn't happened yet. Luckily for me, I didn't give a time when I thought it would happen. What I think is going on is this. I think that part of this is driven by the elections that are coming up. I think they want to try to postpone any indictment until after the election. Oh. And I also think that – I mean, I hope they don't do it. But here's what Karl Rove is saying. It's a very interesting argument. He's not denying now that – he did lie about talking to Time Magazine reporter Matthew Cooper, and that he lied. He's not denying that he lied to investigators. He lied to, indeed, to Fitzgerald himself before a grand jury under oath when he said he never talked to the guy. His statement now is he forgot. He just forgot. He was outing a CIA agent, and oops, he just forgot all about it. For him, treason is something he does every day, I guess, because he just couldn't remember doing it. And, you know, I wish Fitzgerald would be going a lot faster, but I'll tell you this. I can't claim to have inside knowledge on this one. I do have a lot of inside knowledge as to what goes on in Congress, in the administration, sometimes even in the courts, because people, whistleblowers, will leak to me. That investigation, Fitzgerald's holding his cards pretty tight to the vest. If I look at the evidence, I can say, you know, if I were a prosecutor, I would have indicted Karl Rove already. But what's going on in Fitzgerald's mind? I don't know. What's your view?
Yeah, but I think he's basically afraid of the administration because, I mean, he's dealing with the most corrupt, powerful administration that we've ever had. I mean, if he takes this guy out, it's basically going to bring the whole thing down.
Well, I
really believe that. That'll be it for him.
I'll tell you this. I have argued since my very first show, almost 3 years ago now, that the people in charge of this administration were Karl Rove and Dick Cheney, and to a lesser extent, Don Rumsfeld.
Right.
And if Karl Rove is taken out of the mix, it's hard to know how they'll run. I mean, their political this is the administration of politics. This is the administration, like the Wizard of Oz, that they understood from the get-go that the presentation was more important than the policy. It was all about the fiery face and not about the man behind the curtain. And Karl Rove is the essence of that.
Right. So you think this guy is going to go against all that, Fitzgerald, meaning that I'm sure he cares about his job and he wants to do the right thing, but he also cares about his life, too, like anybody else.
I don't know. I don't know why he's being so slow. I think he's being very, very careful. I'll tell you this, though.
Unless they're making deals behind the scenes.
I'll tell you this, though. I've been worried about Fitzgerald, and I'll tell you, I asked Joe Wilson, Ambassador Joe Wilson, and he may have to be careful too, but what he thought of Fitzgerald, and he thought he was fair. He thought he was kind of plotting, but he thought that he was someone who would eventually do the right thing. And I think that part of what they're doing is they're building a very slow case, but a powerful case against one of the only people more important than Karl Rove, and that's Vice President Dick Cheney. As you notice, they just brought to the public's attention just last week that Scooter Libby, the chief of staff for Vice President Cheney, who's been indicted, that Cheney wrote in the margins of a newspaper article, of Joe Wilson, in fact, newspaper article talking about the Bush administration lying about Iraq's nuclear weapons, that didn't his wife send him on some kind of junket? So you have Cheney's own handwriting
Right.
In essence, starting the process that led to Tradergate. And Scooter Libby, in fact, just this, just today, I read, denied that he even ever saw those comments. Well, who were those comments to? You know,
right,
who are they written to? I think Fitzgerald's moving ahead, and I have to think we're going to get an indictment before the elections. But, you know, on this one, your guess is as good as mine.
The sad thing is that so many progressives this week, we were so excited, and it was just such a letdown. You know what
yeah,
I mean? But
well,
we're not giving up.
No,
sure.
I have faith. I think it's going to happen. Listen, I got to go to commercial. I haven't held one in a while.
Thanks
Hang on
so
if
much.
You wish. Thank you for
I'll
your
keep
call.
Listening.
I appreciate
okay,
it. We'll be right back
okay,
after
bye.
This.
Excuse me, Ms. Executive, who studied 4 years of math, including trigonometry, and now sits in a huge office and drives a finely tuned luxury car?
Yes, Mr. Only learned basic math in school, so still have a low-paying job and have to live with your mother.
Sorry to bother you, but the vice president who took AP Calculus and gets paid more than the rest of us combined wants to know if you'll be leaving early like you usually do to play golf.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll let him know. If you need me this weekend, I'll be working late filling out your expense reports and timesheets because it's the only kind of math I can handle.
Great. Simple addition and subtraction sound right up your alley.
Thanks. Have a good weekend in the country, ma'am.
I always do.
Want to get ahead in life? Learn math. Algebra, trigonometry, calculus. Because math is power. To learn more, log on to mathispower.org. A public service message brought to you by the National Action Council for Minorities in Engineering and the Ad Council.
If you've been thinking about consolidating your federal student loans, it's time to call College Loan Corporation at 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will explain the benefits of the consolidation program, including locking in the lowest rate in history, reducing your current monthly payment by up to 58%, and cutting down multiple payments into one simple check. For more information, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
This is a financial update. The average mortgage rates took a slight dip this week.
Sorry to interrupt, but LendingTree.com is the only place where banks compete over your mortgage. Then you get up to 4 real offers to choose from within minutes. So do better and choose from low rates. Call LendingTree now at 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply. See website for details and licensing.
I'm just a cowboy who's got achy knees and the joint pain they call osteoarthritis. I tried over-the-counter pills, they weren't right for me. So I tried some prescriptions and they made me foggy. And that's when I found you, Celebrex, for joint pain relief, no more, no less.
Celebrex targets the source of pain and inflammation. It's non-narcotic. It doesn't make you foggy or slow you down. Ask your doctor about Celebrex celecoxib capsules. Celebrex should not be taken if you've had aspirin-sensitive asthma or allergic reaction due to aspirin or other arthritis medicines or certain drugs called sulfonamides. In rare cases, serious stomach problems such as bleeding can occur without warning. Tell your doctor if you have kidney or liver problems. To learn more, call 1-888-CELEBREX, visit Celebrex.com, or see our ad in Real Simple. Just one prescription Celebrex gives 24-hour relief.
Ask your doctor about Celebrex. Joint pain relief, no more, no less.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine. Toll-free number 888-488-6275, 888-488-MARK. Did you hear about the recent fight between Senator Russ Feingold, Democrat of Wisconsin, and Senator Arlen Specter, Republican of Pennsylvania? Now, Arlen Specter is what is generally conceived to be a moderate Republican. People say that he's not a someone who necessarily does everything the Republicans say. In fact, there was argument that he shouldn't be chair of the Judiciary Committee because he was independent of the president. And Republicans believe that nobody with a view independent of the President of the United States should serve as chairman of a powerful committee like the Judiciary Committee that handles judges and the like. Well, our inspector has shown those Republicans up. He has shown them the truth. He has made clear that he can be just as much of a toady as any other Republican senator. He's no moderate. And he showed it recently with the prepared constitutional amendment to outlaw the right of gay people to get married. Now, this has no chance of succeeding in Congress. Even Republicans like Arlen Specter have come out against it, people like John McCain, a number of Democrats. Marriage, of course, has been a state's right for all of American history for 225 years, and in fact, it predates it to colonial history. There's never been a federal law regulating who can marry and who could not marry, and this would put it in the Constitution. What is the purpose of this amendment? It's clear. The purpose is to bring the religious right out in election year 2006. That's why they want to hold it as close to the election as possible. It's kind of hard because this is the biggest do-nothing Congress in American history. It's met some 97 days less, by the way, than 110 days of the do-nothing Congress decried by Harry Truman in 1948. Just 97 days in 2 years. Not very much. And I happen to know. I mean, I know when I used to work there, even when they worked more, at that time they would work Wednesday and Thursday. Tuesday there'd be some resolutions, you know, praising post offices and things like that. But real work would get done on 2 days, Wednesday and Thursday, 2 day work week. Now they're working on average even less, taking long vacations. But right before they take a vacation, they want to do a constitutional amendment banning the right of gay people to get married because they know that there are a lot of Americans who agree, don't think gay people should get married, whether out of ignorance or prejudice or religious conviction. They don't think that all Americans deserve equal rights, and they want to use this as a wedge issue to separate the American people. So Russ Feingold said, look, if you want to have a hearing on this, let's make it public, right? Let's let the American people know what's going on in the hearing. And our inspector said, as with so many other hearings, nope, the general public will not be invited. He didn't want to hold it in a hearing room where the public could be heard and could complain and people could see ordinary gay couples leading ordinary lives except for the horrors that, the government would impose upon them, things like not being able to visit their loved ones in a hospital or not being able to will them property and so forth, things that are not allowed under most current laws except in states like Massachusetts. And so he and Feingold, Specter and Feingold, got in a big fight on this. And Feingold walked out. And for those of you who think that politicians have no principles, take a look at Russ Feingold, a man who's also running for president in 2008, almost certainly, the person who wants to censure George Bush, the person who is co-author of the McCain-Feingold Get Money Out of Election Processes bill, and a man who takes no money from corporations and almost lost his senatorial race because he was outspent 3-4-1. And yet remained true to his principles. Well, he walked out, and then our inspector did an amazing thing. He said, I'm against this constitutional amendment. I think it's wrong. I don't think we should be mucking up the Constitution. But I understand that Republicans need an issue to rally up religious conservatives. And even though this issue has no chance of success whatsoever, no chance of a two-thirds vote, and even though in the past I've prevented bills that have a chance of success from even coming to the floor of the Senate, this bill, even though I'm against it, I'm going to vote to allow it to come to the floor of the Senate because I know it will help Republicans politically. It's hard to think of a more cynical comment than that. Russ Feingold, good for you for walking out. Arlen Specter, you are no moderate. And I suspect that in the next election in Pennsylvania, the voters will throw you out just as they're about to throw out Senator Rick Santorum this fall. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. When we come back, I want to talk about the new nominated head of the CIA, Michael Hayden, and his defense on eavesdropping on all of us. We'll be right back right after this. I have.
have these nightmares. This taco, not just an ordinary taco, but this big evil taco is haunting me.
Guacamole.
You see, I was exposed to credit cards in college, and I wasn't the most responsible person back then.
Go, go, go!
I mean, I heard the words credit card and thought, hey, free money! Plane ticket to spring break? Credit card. New skis? Credit card. 135 taco dinners? Bam! Credit card. But hey, it's not too late to do something about your credit. Get ScorePower from Equifax.com. ScorePower gives you your credit report, credit score, and it puts you on the road toward the credit you deserve for just $14.95. So, check out Equifax.com today and get that taco you ate 7 years ago out of your life.
Get ScorePower at Equifax.com or 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Adios, taco.
Get the power.
Your dog eats your new sofa. Pet satisfaction rating 3%.
Your hairdresser doesn't know burnt auburn from burnt toast. Hair color satisfaction rating 5%. After years of marriage, your husband still leaves the seat up. Spouse satisfaction rating minus 2%. Your car insurance company saves you hundreds of dollars and handles your claim quickly and fairly. Car insurance satisfaction rating 97%. Oh, you must have Geico.
Geico's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? Geico. 1-800-947-AUTO.
It's night. You have heartburn. You want fast relief. Zantac works fast. When first used, Prilosec OTC works not so fast. Zantac works right when you need it.
Hello, relief.
Prilosec's label says it may take 1 to 4 days to fully work. So, what would you choose?
Estimated time of relief, 1 to 4 days.
Prilosec, nah. Zantac's for people who hate to wait, especially at night. Use as directed.
If you're looking for a great deal, look no further than the CX 4600 All-in-One from Epson. No one else gives you so many great features at such a brilliant price, like individual cartridges of DuraBrite ink for water, smudge, and fade-resistant photos, and built-in card slots to print directly from memory cards. You can also restore your old photos to their original beauty, all for around $99 after a $30 mail-in rebate. Buy now and also get a $20 reward card back by mail. For more brilliant deals, visit Epson.com/promotions.
If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish...
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
As time flows on, there are places we return to again and again. Precious places. Timeless places. Places that, with your help, can endure forever. I'm Paul Newman. Help the Nature Conservancy save the last great places around the world.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We saw hearings, of course, this week for General Michael Hayden. He is the presidential nominee that the president wants to head the CIA, the same guy that sponsored the domestic spying program that we still don't know all the details of, though we do know that some 224 million of us, indeed almost certainly you and me, just about every American, except those that have Quest as their long-distance service provider, we had our phone calls monitored, our local phone calls, our long-distance phone calls. We know the government knows who we're talking to, what time we talked to them, where we were when they were talking to them. Now, Michael Hayden defends this. He defends it not based on any law, because there is no law that authorizes it, but on the basis, in effect, that we need a national emergency, that our laws have to give way when we're under terrorist attack. In effect, the same kind of argument that Adolf Hitler made when the Reichstag was burned. It was only later that historians learned that the Nazis themselves burned down the German parliament. But in essence, it's don't worry about the law. We've got you covered. state of emergency. In fact, it's interesting because states of emergency are exactly what dictators issue before they take over. In any case, he's defending it, and the Republican Congress doesn't think that it really needs to be investigated. In fact, one of the main differences is if the Democrats do take over House of Congress, I suspect they will ask detailed questions, not just of Michael Hayden, who they have no power to stop right now unless Republicans suddenly seem to recognize the rule of law, which isn't likely, but also of the phone companies themselves. It's interesting. The phone companies are afraid of losing business. I, for one, sold some stock in one recently because I was not happy with their support of the eavesdropping program. They're trying to back away with these carefully worded denials that don't quite deny that they did this, but sort of try to seem to deny it, understanding, of course, it's more about spin than about reality. But in any case, what's interesting to me is not Michael Hayden, per se. He's just a cog in a wheel. But his boss, someone who doesn't get much attention, John Negroponte. Now, John Negroponte is the head of all intelligence in America. There was this recent reorganization. Basically, whenever Bush screws up, instead of firing the people who screwed up, he reorganizes government, spends millions, indeed billions of dollars, reorganizing the chairs, deciding who sits who and who reports to whom, and somehow thinks that that's going to solve the problem. We all know we have a massive intelligence problem, and so he reorganized it and appointed a new head of director of national intelligence, not John Negroponte, who has his own history dating back to Reagan and the first Bush. You know, it's interesting. We never see any new guys. We never see any new faces, never see any new names. It's all the same people who are involved in Iran-Contra and supporting Saddam Hussein and all the scandals of the past, Nicaragua and so forth. Anyway, John Negroponte, the new head of the CIA, was one of the guys who originally put in Porter Goss, the head of the CIA. John Negroponte, excuse me, the head of the Director of National Intelligence. Porter Goss, when he became to the CIA, was everything the Republicans thought they wanted. He was a classic flack. He was a member of Congress, Republican, someone intensely loyal to the president, intensely loyal to the Bush administration and those who control it, people like Cheney and Rove. And he would fire long-time political analysts, long-time CIA analysts, the kind of people who connect the dots. Remember the complaint that no one connected the dots before 9/11? And he fired them because they didn't show enough loyalty to President Bush. And they would do things like tell reporters when Bush ordered them to break the law. What an awful thing. How dare they report on Bush for telling them, you know, to break the law. So he fired them. But now Negroponte has fired Goss, and it may be because of Foggy was his nickname. But the guy that was number three at the CIA that had the poker parties and shared the prostitutes with Duke Cunningham, the guy that got indicted down in San Diego, the congressman, it may have been because of that. We won't really know. But something very much broader here is going on, and that is that they are cutting out any CIA analysts who actually did analysis. You see, they don't want people connecting the dots. If you connect the dots, you discover that Saudi Arabia has a very dangerous government full of propaganda, and it also ties to the Bush administration. They want less dot connecting going on. They want more points of analysis and less analysis. More eavesdropping, if you will. And I want you to think about what happened on 9/11. This is crucial here. 9/11, we had the dots. We didn't connect them. Remember, we had the memo sent to George Bush. Remember the one that said bin Laden determined to strike the United States? We had all of that. We had Colleen Rowley write a memo saying that people want to fly planes but don't land them. And, of course, she's not allowed to present that memo to her bosses. We had documents that, had they been translated from Arabic to English, if we hadn't fired all the best translators for being gay or things like that, if they'd been translated, we would have known about September 11th before it occurred. We do not lack for dots. We have plenty of dots. But the new CIA, the new director of intelligence, John Negroponte, thinks we've been connecting too many of those dots. More dots less connections. More trees, less forest. He even disbanded the CIA's agency, Premier Center for Long-Range Forecasting, the Strategic Assessments Group. We don't want to ask those long-term questions like, what's happening with Al-Qaeda? What's happening with Pakistan? What's happening in Iran? No, because the administration does not want to know the facts. What they want is to decide a course of action, in other words, support whatever policies help U.S. oil companies, and then backtrack, create the facts from the policy. And if you have 10,000 dots and, you know, 500 don't support your policy and 3 do and the other 9,500 are irrelevant, if you don't have an analysis saying that the 500 dots outweigh the 3, you can just say, I picked these 3 dots. Look, 3 reasons why our policy is a good one. It's all about creating facts to support policy, doing exactly what the Downing Street memo said did. George Bush wanted to fix the facts around the policy. Is there anyone in America that still doesn't understand that this is an administration that hates facts, that hates intelligence, that does not want analysis, even if it would save millions of American lives, if it would go against their politics? Politics first. Ideas second. And there's nowhere that it's clearer than in the intelligence agencies. When they're firing the people who connect the dots, firing the people who do analysis, and getting more dots, in fact, a trillion more dots in the form of every single phone call that any of us have ever made in the last 5 years. A trillion more dots. But you don't get intelligence by gathering dots. You don't get intelligence by finding out that grandma in Ames City, Iowa, called her daughter the other day, or even to find out that her grandson once called a porn chat line, as awful as that may be and as much as they want to use it against him if he ever runs for office in the future. That's not how you get dots. That's not how you get information. That's not how you get intelligence. It is how you get dots, I guess. But the way you get intelligence is by analyzing those dots. And so I think you'll see, while everyone's focusing on Michael Hayden and the illegal eavesdropping, which they should focus on, very little focusing on the real question, which is why the administration does not want accurate intelligence. It sounds too crazy to be believed, but it's actually understandable when you understand that accurate intelligence is against their policy. They want to make the policy first. As the Downing memo clearly said, fix the facts around the policy. And that was crucial in hiring Michael Hayden and John Negroponte to begin with. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. When we come back, I want to talk about the re-election of Mayor Ray Nagin of New Orleans and his comment about New Orleans remaining a chocolate city. We'll be right back after this.
Nightmares. This taco, not just an ordinary taco, but this big evil taco is haunting me.
Guacamole.
You see, I was exposed to credit cards in college, and I wasn't the most responsible person back then.
Go, go, go!
I mean, I heard the words credit card and thought, hey, free money! Plane ticket to spring break? Credit card. New skis? Credit card. 135 taco dinners? Bam! Credit card. But hey, it's not too late to do something about your credit. Get ScorePower from Equifax.com. ScorePower gives you your credit report, credit score, and it puts you on the road toward the credit you deserve for just $14.95. So, check out Equifax.com today and get that taco you ate 7 years ago out of your life.
Get ScorePower at Equifax.com or 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Adios, taco.
Get the power.
I'm just a cowboy who's got achy knees, and the joint pain they call osteoarthritis. I tried over-the-counter pills, they weren't right for me. So I tried some prescriptions, and they made me foggy. And that's when I found you, Celebrex, for joint pain relief, no more, no less.
Yeehaw!
Celebrex targets the source of pain and inflammation. It's non-narcotic. It doesn't make you foggy or slow you down. Ask your doctor about Celebrex celecoxib capsules. Celebrex should not be taken if you've had aspirin-sensitive asthma or allergic reaction due to aspirin or other arthritis medicines or certain drugs called sulfonamides. In rare cases, serious stomach problems such as bleeding can occur without warning. Tell your doctor if you have kidney or liver problems. To learn more, call 1-888-CELEBREX, visit Celebrex.com, or see our ad in Real Simple. Just one prescription Celebrex gives 24-hour relief.
Ask your doctor about Celebrex. Joint pain relief, no more, no less.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Just a few minutes left, and I got two more stories I want to report on. One, of course, is the mayor of New Orleans, Ray Nagin's recent reelection over Mitch Landrieu, his opposition. And then I want to talk in the second part after the break about how some people in the fundamentalist right-wing religious Christians are actually considering voting for Democrats. A very interesting thing. I'll get to that after the next break. But first, let's talk about Mayor Ray Nagin. Now, Mayor Nagin got in a lot of trouble with the press, with a lot of white voters in New Orleans, when he talked about retaining New Orleans as a chocolate city. He was ridiculed. There was things on Saturday Night Live. Certainly, Jon Stewart did his bit on him. And it was seen, as I think it rightly should be seen, if seen out of context, as a racist remark. What does Chocolate City mean? It doesn't mean that New Orleans has great confections and candies. It means that New Orleans will remain a city with a majority, or at least a very large percentage of African Americans. And it led to a race with a largely racial divide, where some 80% of African Americans voted for Mayor Ray Nagin, pretty much the same percentage of whites voted for his opposition candidate, Mitch Landrieu, who is a Democrat, lieutenant governor of Louisiana, and a brother of Senator Mary Landrieu, so certainly no conservative here. So, obviously, I'm not fond of any appeals to racial polarization, but I have to say that while I would not have voted for Ray Nagin, I don't think his comment is entirely out of bounds, and let me explain why. First of all, let me say why I wouldn't vote for Ray Nagin. I wouldn't vote for him because I think he was incompetent during Hurricane Katrina. I think he was out of his league. I don't expect every big city mayor to understand what to do in case of a major crisis, but certainly a mayor of New Orleans was fully aware that this could happen, and he could have done things like bring buses around. He certainly could have done more. Obviously, he wasn't the only one at fault. The federal government played a major role in prolonging the agonies of the people of New Orleans. The mayor of New Orleans had far more limited resources than the federal government. I am not at all saying that Mike Brown should get a pass here, but I'm saying that Ray Nagin failed to do his part. I would have voted for Mitch Landrieu. But his comment, the Chocolate City comment, as unfair as it is out of context, in context, I think it's a little bit more murky. Basically, Nagin was saying that New Orleans will remain or should remain a city of African Americans. And you really have to realize the context here. What's happened in New Orleans? There are still houses, whole wards, areas that are condemned, that are unlivable, where there are still houses that are trashed, streets strewn with trash. This is 9 months after Hurricane Katrina. And this area is still unlivable. And it happens to be a poor African-American area. And it may well be that, you know what, it isn't worthwhile to rebuild. And it may be that there's no racial element involved, that this is the poorest area. It can't be protected by levees. I happen not to buy the argument because, after all, the same people who are arguing economically, we just can't rebuild these poor black wards, are the same people that supported a channel in New Orleans that funneled all the damage from Hurricane Katrina right into these neighborhoods, made it far worse than it was. But it's an economic argument. You can make it one way or the other. But at the same time, you had Republicans with glee talking about the fact that New Orleans would now become a Republican city, that Louisiana, which after all has two Democratic senators, would now become a Republican state. I mean, Louisiana voted for Bill Clinton. I mean, it's right on the, it's a border state. It would become ever more Republican. And they're saying it's great because the blacks are leaving. And therefore, we're going to get better electoral politics out of Louisiana. So to me, what Ray Nagin was saying was, hold on, you shouldn't leave because you're black. The Republicans shouldn't be gleeing. New Orleans will remain a chocolate city. And I don't think he was saying it to make whites want to leave. I really don't. I think he was saying it because people were criticizing him as, you know, an ex-Republican, a businessman, someone who'd never had held elective office prior to his first term, that he was saying, you know what, you are welcome here. Again, I wouldn't have voted for the guy, but I do think the comment has to be understood in context. And I think New Orleans, if they're not going to reopen the wards that were destroyed, those poor African-American wards, they need to reopen another section of the city. They have this money coming in. They need to give people a place to live, a place to come home. And if they're not going to rebuild those neighborhoods, then maybe they need to get other neighborhoods around. Maybe the city, if they got to take the money to rebuild, and if they're not going to rebuild there, rebuild somewhere else. And another idea, close down that shipping channel. No one was using it anyway, and it sure made the hurricanes worse. When I come back, I've got just a little bit of time, just enough time to tell you why some religious fundamentalists are, believe it or not, considering voting for the Democratic Party. That last word, right after this.
Here's a message about Anderson Windows from J.T. Hurst & Company, a division of T.W. Perry. If you're thinking about remodeling your home, keep in mind that windows play a big part, so it's important to get the right ones. Anderson not only offers finely crafted windows and patio doors in thousands of sizes and styles, they also give you natural wood interiors, low-maintenance exteriors, and long-lasting, energy-saving performance. Stop in and see the full line of Anderson Windows at J.T. Hurst & Company, a division of T.W. Perry. The pros at J.T. Hurst can locate a contractor to do the job for you or give you some helpful tips on how you can do it yourself. J.T. Hurst, where customer service comes first, a division of T.W. Perry. On Catoctin Circle in Leesburg, Anderson Windows. Long live the home.
How many different organizations list you as a member? You might be a member of a sports team, a book club, travel or CD club. But what does that membership really mean? Does membership in a book club allow you to vote on who runs the organization? Can you help shape the long-term future of your CD club? I don't think so. You can, however, shape the future of your electric company. That is, if you're a NOVEC customer. NOVEC, Northern Virginia Electric Cooperative, is owned by the consumers we serve and governed by a board of directors elected from the membership. Pretty cool, huh? But wait, there's more. NOVEC's customers share in the company's profits. Last year, we distributed more than $9.1 million in capital credits to our membership. The power to vote and a share of the profits. Membership doesn't get much better than this. NOVEC, locally based and member-owned. For a list of customer services, answers to your questions, and even employment opportunities, visit our website at www.novac.com.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Just a few minutes left. I want to talk about something really amazing, somewhat surprising that's going on, and that is that people on the religious right are considering voting for the Democratic Party. Now, those of you that have listened to my show know that I strongly support the separation of church and state. I certainly don't support a theocracy. I don't support government-issued prayer in schools. I support the right of individuals to pray in school. But I don't support forcing kids to pray, whether with a government-issued prayer, the Pledge of Allegiance, or any other time. I don't think government should be forcing people to pray. I don't think government should be involved in religion. I don't think religion should be involved in government. I support Thomas Jefferson's separation of church and state. And many of you know my views on abortion. They've been talked about at length. What's interesting to me is that many who don't share my views on any of these religious issues are considering voting for my party, the Democratic Party, and it's because abortion's been taken out of the equation. And nowhere is this more clear than in Pennsylvania, where Rick Santorum is almost certain to lose his race this fall. He is the fourth highest Republican in the Senate. He typifies the religious right. He typifies those that want theocracy. And yet he refused to appear recently before the National Association of Evangelicals. He went to a baseball game instead, turned down their invitation. Now, you know, it's one thing for John McCain, who hasn't turned down the invitation of FAWA at Liberty University. Why would Santorum, who's so identified with the religious right, turn them down? Because it turns out that when you take away the abortion issue, and Santorum's opponent in November is Bob Casey, who is also pro-life, as he is, also believes in punishing women who have abortions and punishing their doctors. When you take away the abortion issue, other issues come to the fore. And evangelicals, it should be no one's surprise if you've read Genesis or any other verse of the Bible, care about the environment. They care about the earth. And they don't like the fact that Santorum consistently sells out the environment to his business interests. Santorum, like all Republicans, puts the big business of the lobbyists who pay his bills ahead of his constituents. And it turns out that if you take out abortion, evangelicals will vote against people like Santorum. They'll vote for the Democrats. If you look in Ohio, there's a race with moderate Republican Deborah Price. Same thing, except they're both pro-choice. When the Democrat and Republican are both pro-choice, evangelicals look to other issues, look to issues like the environment, look to the fact that Deborah Price has so consistently voted that taxpayer money goes to big business. So I'm not saying that Democrats should abandon their position on abortion. I'm saying this, though. In certain districts that are overwhelmingly pro-life or pro-choice, if you have a candidate that's the same as the other, then people on abortion, then people can look past those issues, and even evangelicals can vote for the Democrats. And finally, I should note that no one should forget that a heck of a lot of evangelicals, a heck of a lot of religious people do